Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, and today I am fortunate to speak with one of our important guests, a prolific novelist, Jeff W. Horton. Jeff was an information technology professional for 25 years before deciding to pursue his lifelong dream of being a writer. Since becoming an author and screenwriter of family-friendly fiction, Jeff has written 8 published novels in several genres, including apocalyptic fiction, science fiction, religious fantasy, and romance thrillers. His current list of works includes Heaven's Oasis, New Beginnings, Frontiers, Cyberspace, The Way of Nacor, Tales of Eden, The Last Prophet, The Dark Age, Survivors of the Pulse, and The Great Collapse, Survivors of the Pulse. And I know that I'm very interested to learn more, so let's just dig in. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. Well, Jeff, you made a big leap here. You went from being an IT professional to an author. How did you make that leap?
Well, you know, I just one day decided I wanted to explore, you know, alternatives, and just had an idea one night for a novel, and started pulling it together. And you know, I'd had several false starts, I guess, before that, off and on over the years. But this time, I just kind of put pen to paper, so to speak, and started writing and just kind of let the story flow. And before I knew it, I had my first novel.
We're going to talk about the process later. Now, you say that you are a novelist and not just an author. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, a novelist is an artist, in my assessment. I mean, you're as creative as an artist or a composer in terms of you're creating something, you know, brand new, something that didn't exist before, and you're creating and shaping and molding. Of course, the same can be said for, you know, biographers or writers who write travel guide or whatever, but a novelist, you know, you're creating, fiction. You're creating a story, and it largely comes out of your own mind and your own imagination. And so it's kind of a distinction that I try to draw, because I am working. Actually, I happen to be working now on something that's a nonfiction, but by and large, I'm purely a novelist.
All right. No, I get that distinction that you're trying to make. I get it very well. Now, your first 3 books were mostly futuristic, apocalyptic thrillers, all written for the masses, but as you say, from a Christian worldview. And I was wondering, how easy, or maybe how difficult, is it for you as a writer to either let your personal views become part of your novel or to actually keep them out of your works?
Well, I certainly don't do the latter, but neither do I make it real preachy. It's just kind of a natural event. It's kind of a natural byproduct of my writing. I mean, certainly it's an intentional thing as well. I mean, I part of the motivation was that it just seems like every day, you know, you turn on television and there's a new level of a new level of ugliness, of violence, of explicit, sexual encounters, and I just shudder, you know, when I'd have my young kids when they were younger, I'd just shudder, and you know, never knowing if I was on edge. I've not seen this, film before. Is it going to have something that's, you know, hurry, kids, close your eyes,
right,
that kind of thing? Or is there going to be such, you know, such graphic violence or such, you know, that, hey, kids, hurry, close your eyes, you know?
Right.
And in terms of novels, you know, it's the same way. There's been a numerous, you know, books, and some of them have been adored by the masses, you know, where they were very paranormal. But so I thought, you know, I'm a Christian, and certainly the supernatural, there's a lot of supernatural stories in the Bible, right? So, it kind of flows. It just depends on what kind of novel I'm writing. You know, one of them, The Last Prophet, is very much religious fiction. It deals with the end days and the days prior to the return of Christ and the Antichrist and prophets. So a lot of religious, you know, religiosity. You know, my faith is really very evident, I think, in that writing. And some of the other ones, like one of the first ones, the Great Collapse and the Dark Age. You know, the premise was you know, the end of the world and how to recover. And but again, laced in there were you know, one of the main characters in that novel happens to be a pastor, a retired pastor, and so there's also elements of, you know, the church and you know, priests, and occasionally, although it's more of, it's not really the main plot line, just some of the characters, and so it just kind of weaves its way in and out. I mean, to be honest with you, I was a bit surprised at some reviews I got by folks who were pretty, you know, obviously not Christian, who took some offense at it. In some cases, I didn't think it was, certainly wasn't overtly, you know, Christian. I had not gone overboard and, again, not been preachy, but I guess it just kind of came through, right? So I guess it just kind of comes through in my writing, even when I don't intend, you know, to make it kind of in your face.
Well, it's part of you, and you're the writer, so it comes from you. So I'm imagining that that's why I asked that question. I didn't know if you had to work to keep it out or put it in, or if it just kind of naturally flows from you because that's who you are.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned The Great Collapse, and actually I'm interested personally, and that was your first book, right?
It was the first one published. The Dark Age, I actually wrote it first, but I ended up, you know, writing the prequel, you know, and then having it published first.
Okay. The Great Collapse, it's about after an EMP attack combines with a massive solar flare to rob humanity of its technology, civilization soon crumbles and people must rediscover how to live without electricity. And we're kind of sitting on that precipice right at this very moment. What caused you to write about this?
I don't really recall. I had a dream one night, and it was a post-apocalyptic dream, and I just kind of took from that and developed the Dark Age. And I was having a conversation, actually, as I was at church, and a young pastor, you know, I was telling him a little bit of base. I'd really be interested in what caused all this, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and I wrote The Great Collapse, and actually, you know, had that one come out first. So, you know, so it just, you know, it's something, I guess, that's largely been, you know, on my mind. There was a film that came out when I was in school many years ago, Future Shock.
Right.
And there have been some sense, you know, that talk to how civilization, how fragile it is. And what I found interesting when I was writing that particular novel is really how fragile our world, you know, really is. I mean, I didn't even know when I started writing that there was actually something called a EMP commission.
Mm-hmm.
But there was. I mean, the last one, when I wrote the novel, the last one had been convened in 2008, where they study, you know, what would be the impact of a massive EMP. And the conclusion was a single nuclear warhead detonated high in the atmosphere over Kansas had the potential to basically cripple America.
Yep.
I mean, it wouldn't take one having hit a city. Just one detonation would knock out the power grid across the U.S. and would fry it. And so many components would be fried by it that it would take, they couldn't find all the parts. They'd have to make parts again because they quit making them, you know, so long ago. People wouldn't even know, probably. A lot of people wouldn't even know how to repair. They'd have to go figure out how to repair mm-hmm. some of the infrastructure. Some of it's so old.
Well,
it's pretty amazing.
It really is amazing. And we are sitting, as I say, we are sitting at that point right now where that is, it could be a very real possibility because our power grid is so very fragile. And, you know, the whole idea of solar flares, and if it all came together at the same time, as you suggest in your book, we would be in a very interesting situation. How much research went into writing that book then?
I research, you know, like any good novelist, I research all my novels to varying degrees. Although they are fiction, you know, you want to have a real element of realism. So, I spent, you know, I don't know, a number of days total, you know, researching everything from solar flares. And I was just told, you know, a couple of days ago that there was a massive solar flare or coronal mass ejection from the sun some years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that, you know, if things had been slightly different, it would have fried half the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
These solar flares, I mean, typically they don't come directly at the Earth, and we have the Earth's magnetic field to shield us. But if they're big enough, it could be really dangerous. And so I researched a little bit about solar flares and researched, you know, electromagnetic pulse, you know, weapons and kind of where we are with that. And there's a found in one article that there were suggestions that we use that in the Gulf War, knock out the communication systems in Iran.
Yep.
And we had an EMP. EMP weapons that they've developed, at least that we know about, have not been as powerful as what a nuclear weapon, a nuclear detonation would trigger. But who knows what they haven't told us about.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a whole other interview, I think. All right. So, folks, that's The Great Collapse. Excellent, excellent book. Well, now, I told you my favorite of your 8 books. Do you have a favorite?
I'd have to say, you know, right now that I've always kind of liked The Last Prophet. That's the one that's a little bit more religious and is focused on the end times. I'd always wanted to write a book around Revelation. There's just so much vivid imagery and symbolism and great things to work with. Frankly, I've been shocked that there haven't been more written, because, people like supernatural and the paranormal. Well, there you go. It's just laced with it in Revelation. So, and I like the you know, Heaven's Oasis, the one I just finished writing and just got into publication not long ago. It's my first attempt at what I would kind of deem to be somewhat of a romantic thriller.
Oh, okay.
I tend to lace all of my novels with some degree of, you know, a romance in it, but this one was a little bit more. It's kind of really the focus on it. So I kind of like this one. I'm real curious to see how it does. My college age daughter really liked it. I think it was one of her favorite. And even my wife says she'll actually read this one.
Oh, well, there you go. There's an endorsement. An endorsement from your wife. Well, now, you've written 8 books. How are they the same and how are they different?
Well, you know, the element of I attempt to write fiction that I wouldn't be I would say is at least PG-13 or better. So all of them, you know, there's no R-rated or certainly no X-rated type material in any of them. But yet I try to make them really interesting, right? I don't want to have a boring, you know, stale story line. So I do work hard to make it a really exciting, you know, story. But at the same time, I don't have to go overboard, you know, with descriptions. So I guess in that manner, they're the same. Mm-hmm. I would feel comfortable with a young teenager, reading any of them, and really probably the Dark Age, just because of the subject matter, would have some of the a little bit more graphic than any of the others. And pretty much most of the others I'd be fine with anybody reading any age. Although it's not certainly not written, you know, that way. You know, my hope is one day that I get, one of these or one or more of these made into films.
Yeah.
And that's another way I think they're all common is as I write with a lot of imagery and a lot of dialogue. When I've actually written a screenplay for cyberspace, and I think that, I think most of them would translate pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of tough when you have a novel where there's a great deal of internal conflict going on. You know, you have to find a way to get that, you know, out to the audience when you're, you know, when you take it to a film.
Right.
But in my novels, again, you know, with the abundance of dialogue and imagery, I just think that some of it would be beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, on the screen.
Yeah, it would lend themselves to
it. I'm biased, though.
Well, hey, you have a right to be biased. You're in charge here, Jeff. Now, I think anyone who writes knows that the writing process is deeply personal and requires one to be quite introspective. Was there any surprising things that you learned about yourself while writing your books?
I never would have thought, given my personality, that even as I'm getting a little older, I never would have thought that I would have the patience, you know, to sit down mm-hmm. and write novels the way I have. But honestly, it's exciting. You know, it's as I'm writing, I'm kind of learning and watching the story myself or reading the story myself. You know, it's interesting the way they develop. I guess in a sense, it's like the artist who doesn't really know exactly, you know, what they're drawing, and kind of when they're done, they're kind of in, you know, it's amazed at the way it did. You know, it could be kind of what they had in mind, or it could be something completely different.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the way it's been. So I guess the fact that, you know, that I enjoy writing what basically is the marathon, you know, of the writing world, it kind of amazes me. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd be more of a short story guy, but
isn't that interesting? Yeah, I like that. It's a really good answer. You realize that about yourself then. Well, you kind of intimated there. Let's just talk a bit about the writing process for a bit. You said you watched that storyline unfold. Do you write an outline before every book you write?
And, you know, this is something that I would suggest to people who are interested in writing who maybe haven't. You know, what I did with my first novel especially, and then probably the next two novels maybe, is I wrote, you know, very organically. You know, I'd sit down and I'd just start writing, and because I really, you know, wasn't comfortable or able or, you know, to sit down and sketch out the whole thing and in an outline. So I would just kind of write and just kind of see where the story went. And I had probably written at least maybe a third of the novel, my first two novels, before I actually started, you know, really developing the outline the way it needed to be. But as I've written more and I've gone through the process more, I guess I've been flexing those mental writing muscles, you know, more as I've written, and find myself able to develop a better outline early on.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't want it to be too firm, you know, I guess the way I like to write is I like it right as of right now, you know. I like to write, you know, kind of develop a rough idea of where I'm going. Maybe I'll have, maybe it'll go all the way from beginning to end, maybe not. And then I'll start writing, and as I get into a couple of chapters, you know, I start stopping, pausing for a moment, going back, adding to my outline, developing it. So by the time I have, you know, maybe, you know, four or five chapters, I've probably got a pretty good outline already, and, you know, and kind of in the, you know, somewhere off to the side. So I kind of have a better idea of where I'm going.
Where you're going.
The problem is, if you don't do that, have some structure, you tend to wander, you know, and meander. And you have to, and plus you have to kind of plan for plot reversals, and you have to plan for character growth. And so, you know, I try, so it just kind of depends on how far along I am. If I already have a really good idea of, you know, what I'm writing about and what the characters are like, you know, I can do a lot of that up front. But if I don't, I may have to, it's kind of a flexible process. I think that's one reason, at least to this point, I haven't had any instances of writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
Because my process, you know, allows for a very, you know, creative, pure, relaxed flow, and I just kind of develop my outline further as I get along a little bit more.
Which takes me then to your work schedule, because you say you're kind of a relaxed flow. Do you have a definite work schedule? Like, I get up in the morning and I've got to write for 4 hours, or how does that work for you?
I think some of the experts in the field will tell you that you should try to write, you know, some every day. And I try, you know, I don't always do that, but I try. You know, I'll sit down, a lot of times I'll write late. When it's quiet, I've still got two, you know, children here with me in the house.
Right.
So it's a little bit easier when things have settled down, gotten quiet, you know, to get a little bit more writing done. So I tend to do a lot in the evenings, or sometimes when, you know, off on weekends and vacations. I won't force the process, you know, too much. You know, I may sit down and say, you know, I've really got to crank out X number of chapters, you know, today. I just really do. But sometimes you just, you know, I'm really not feeling it. You know, sometimes I I may just set it down, go off, do something, you know, relax, and it may be a couple of days before it really grabs me again. And then when it kicks in, I'll just go at it and crank out, you know, a number of chapters. Maybe I'll have a burst of creativity, and I'll complete an outline and a fleshy outline out, and I'll develop my, I have an idea about my characters. And you do try to write every day. You do try to have some discipline about it. But because of just the nature of the creative process, at least for me, it's kind of like, have you ever had a point where you've been trying to remember something, maybe a name or a place, and you just can't think of it?
Yes.
And you go off and do something else, and bam, it hits you.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's kind of like your brain is working even when you don't know it's working, you know, on a problem. So sometimes I find, you know, that works. Just, you know, if I'm stumped and I can't quite figure my way through something, I may give it a day or two, and then by the next time I try, it just flows real well. Because, you know, somewhere in the background of some background process in my brain, it sorted through wherever the problem was.
Now, that's true. When you let go sometimes, that's when things come forward. I know I do some of my most creative thinking in the shower, which makes me want to ask you if you have any interesting writing quirks, such as standing on your head or, you know, writing in the dark.
No, I used to. It's odd. I used to write in front of the television a good bit. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I don't know why. But here, as I, last few years, I tend to avoid that more. I'll block things off, turn it off, you know, block it off or something as I'm writing. So not really sure why, but no, you know, I you know, listen to music, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I do find, this is a little quirky, I guess, I do find listening to ocean waves.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love to do that sometimes. I found some of my most productive writing. Actually, some of my most productive writing has been when I've been at the beach
mm-hmm.
on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just have bursts of it. And I'll sit out on the patio or deck of the condominium where we're at and listen to the waves and just bam, just write for hours and hours. Yeah.
Something about those shower sounds, I think. Maybe it's the sound of water. It's kind of peaceful. What does your family think of your writing?
You know, I think they've been exciting and been very supportive. You know, my son, he's 20 now. But I guess I've been writing, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so. When he was young, you know, he'd help me. He was really, actually, I have to credit him. I'm not sure I would have kept going if it hadn't been for him. But it was some of a collaborative effort, you know. We talked about plot line when I was doing the Great Collapse in the Dark Age, and he'd read through it. And back when he had a lot more time on his hands before he went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he'd sit down and help me develop things. He'd go to book signings with me when they came out. So you know, and some of my older children, to be honest with you, I've kind of pressured them a little bit sometimes to read. Although I got to say, my youngest, my 10-year-old, actually is doing a book report at school on the book that I wrote. That's kind of for children.
Cool.
You know, The Way of Nacor is kind of like Chronicles of Narnia,
mm-hmm.
but it's updated and more science fiction. And so, you know, he's actually going to be doing his book report on it. His teacher approved it, which I thought was neat.
That's very cool. Yeah, that's really neat, huh? To do a book report on a book that your dad wrote. Not many kids could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So you have book signings. Do you hear much from your readers? And if you do, what kind of feedback do you get?
Some of the book signings I've had, I had one guy show up. I just remember it was a pretty big fan. He'd actually had read, you know, some of my works and just some of my books, and just, you know, was telling me how much he enjoyed. You just never really know. And you know, conversations that occasionally I'll correspond with readers over one venue or another. Sometimes I'll be doing question and answer sessions and things online, you know, and here. But yeah, I honestly never hear enough.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to hear from readers, and you know, a lot of the feedback comes in reviews, of course, sometimes, especially when they're some of the more generous ones. I also try to learn from the ones that aren't.
Yeah.
You know, try to improve on the writing. I read a book when I was getting started in writing several years ago by a guy named Donald Mass. He's a big literary agent up in New York, and He wrote a book called Writing the Breakout Novel. And as an agent kind of writing, you know, his view on what, you know, kind of helps to drive success in writing. And I highly recommend it to anyone who's, you know, getting started in writing. And well, a couple of the points that kind of come up is like you hear sometimes about, you know, being a pastor. If there's anything else you can do, you know, you might want to do it because it's tough. You know, it is you almost, you know, at least for me, if I didn't love doing it as much as I do, I don't know that I would have kept at it because it seems like I got started about the time that everybody, you know, on the entire planet decided to start writing novels. The number of books being published now are just really phenomenal between, you know, self-publishing options and vanity publishers and all the different venues that are out there now for writing. It's really very competitive. But I'm working on developing a certain amount of reach a critical mass in terms of, you know, publishing. And I think eventually you get to a point to where people get familiar with you and they go back and read your other work. So it's been tough. That's been one of the bigger challenges in writing now is, you know, I think probably a lot of us start writing thinking, you know, when someone reads this novel, you know, compared to the other novels I've read, it's pretty good. You know, it's good. I think people will really like it. And yeah, I figure, well, you know, I mean, there's 350 million people maybe in the U.S. I'm sure I'll get at least, you know, 25,000 of those people.
There you go.
You know, reading my novel in the first few months.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it happens that way and sometimes it doesn't. But it's tough, and the rewards aren't always as instant as folks might like. But if you love it, just, you know, you just stay with it and you just enjoy it and you love it and you do it because you love it. And if you're blessed with a very positive reception, and then that's wonderful. Yep. You know, you may or may not be. You know, there's a lot of people writing now, and it's very competitive.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, here's a really important question. Ballpoint, Uniball, fountain pen, or pencil or computer?
I'd say 99% computer and 1% whatever I can get my hands on.
Okay.
You know, I've got to be honest. I guess maybe it makes me a terrible parent. Sometimes my kids would go have these functions at their school, and they go on for hours. You know, plays or music, you know, musical productions they put on Christmas and whatever. And you know, sometimes it takes a while to get going, and sometimes there's lags. And so sometimes I'd bring along a pen and paper, you know, especially if I'm in the middle of, you know, writing a novel and ideas will come in. I'll just find whatever paper I can, you know, jot down this, jot down that. And then when I get back to my computer again, I'll go through and update my outline and whatever, you know, crank out some more chapters. But so I try to always, you know, be ready to get that creative kiss, it hits you, whatever, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, and you start, lights come on, and you start wanting to write. But
I've
had that happen several times, but mostly computer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't write. I couldn't read my own handwriting if I were to write a lot of it out by hand.
Be a mystery, wouldn't it?
It would.
That's funny. So tell us, what is next for Jeff W. Horton?
Well, you know, I'm hoping again. I'm real interested in seeing how Heaven's Oasis takes, and if it takes off. I'm anticipating, you know, more of a female readership on this novel. Some of my other ones, like Cyberspace, was a little bit more military, a little bit more techno thriller type, Tom Clancy-ish, whereas, you know, this one is probably a little bit more, something along the lines of Nicholas Sparks, maybe, with a little bit of Indiana Jones kind of thing thrown in.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that, I enjoy writing it. I wanted to write something like that for a while. You know, I'm one of those guys who actually enjoys watching an occasional, you know, movie like that. And I'd continue talking off and on with people out in Hollywood. Just waiting to see. I've got a young producer. He just called me this afternoon, and he's working on something. And it takes time. I'm in no hurry. I'm not expecting anything to happen, you know. But you never know. So I continue working that. There's a platform, you know, for people who are looking at trying to get their novels, you know, onto the screen. Mm-hmm. There's like Stage 32 is a great social networking site for writers or anybody who's in the movie industry or wants to be. I've submitted a number of, sent my screenplay in to a few folks from different production companies. Nothing yet. You know, I've had some interest from one or two producers, but I had one early on who was interested in The Great Clamps, but we couldn't quite get the terms on it. So, you know, I remain optimistic, yep, you know, that I'll get one of these to the big screen. If Cyberspace goes and Frontiers and New Beginnings, the next two books in that series, mm-hmm, you know, would go. I've got these. I'm thinking about writing Frontiers or one of my other novels into a screenplay, adapting that next. So I'll have, you know, two of my novels adapted.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm optimistic that that will happen, and I'm just going to continue writing. After I get done with that and the current nonfiction novel that I'm working on, when I get those out, I'm going to have to put some thought to what my next novel to be about. I try to give that some thought, you know, well ahead of time, mm-hmm, so that I'm not, you know, pressured to come up with anything. I'll just kind of, and I've had some ideas around with all the political rift in our country. I've given some thought to writing a story, kind of talking to that, maybe a futuristic book that would kind of take where we are today to its logical, mm-hmm, conclusion.
Oh no, that's scary.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a political streak running through me, so it would be fun to write that, I think.
I think that'd be fun to read. I would look forward to that one. Well, now I know we've talked about a lot of different things, but is there anything you'd like to talk about today that we missed?
Well, you know, I just like to really encourage, you know, anybody who listens to this, you know, please. I've got a website. It's not a lot to look at, but it has links and it has information about all my novels. It's HortonLibrary.com, which will make it easy for folks to find my connections on Facebook and Twitter and links to all my places to go find information. As trailers on it, I have book trailers for all my novels, and they're usually, you know, 2 or 3 minutes long. I actually created a Facebook group called Christian Book Trailers for folks who are Christian authors that can go post their book trailers. Well, you know, I've got a Facebook page, and I'm Stage 32 and Twitter, and got them all linked up. So, you know, to give it a look. You know, it's not in your face Christian preachy stuff. It's really not. You know, it's written from a guy who's a Christian. You know, so it's got a Christian worldview to it, but it's not all overtly Christian.
No.
The story is a driving factor, and then, you know, a worldview and is the other. So whether it's about the apocalypse or coming back from an apocalypse, or whether it's about the end of the world, as in Revelation, or whether it's cyber warfare and aliens and spaceships and whatever, it's about the story. And everything else kind of is weaved into it.
Well, you are one interesting man. I am so pleased that I had the opportunity to talk with you. And I encourage everyone to visit your website, Horton, H-O-R-T-O-N, HortonLibrary.com. We're going to have all of your information posted on the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. You'll have your own page with all of that information so folks can go there as well. And I really encourage everyone to take a look at your work, take a look at your books. And I think you've given a lot of good advice to current and maybe up-and-coming authors as well today. You know, what an inspiration for your children, too, to see this kind of creativity and dedication and love and persistence.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, like I tell them, you know, I mean, if you don't try, you know you're going to fail. So, I mean, at least be able to try and have fun.
Absolutely. You are a special person. I've enjoyed our conversation. I hope
you
have as well.
Me too.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again for having me. It's been my pleasure.
If you have something to say or share and would like to be interviewed, we will feature you too on the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. Just visit the website speakuptalkradio.com or leave a message on our studio line 440-725-5500. 5462. Go ahead, speak up.